We've had like 37 different policies designed for low-income renters, and frankly, we need another 37 more. But I don't think it's out of bounds to do like one nice thing for the middle class.
Culture is really hard to change, and it's so important to have a society where people still have some hope, especially young people who are trying to decide if they're going to build their life in Canada, right? Hi, and welcome to The Missing Middle. I'm Kara Stern.
And I'm Mike Moffat.
And today we're talking about the new federal government plan to help first-time homebuyers by extending amortization periods.
But before we get started, don't forget to like, subscribe, or leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you.
So Mike, you and I wrote a piece together in The Hub where we outlined some things that the federal government could do to help people who are priced out of home ownership that really shouldn't be. We were kind of focusing on people who are at the cusp of being able to buy, but haven't been able to because of interest rate hikes mostly. The government's enacting some of the same ideas that we proposed, which include extending amortization periods for the first-time home buyers to 30 years, but only on new builds. That wasn't something that we talked about. Why do you think they went with only on new builds?
Yeah, so this was a recommendation from the Canadian Home Builders Association. And I think what the federal government is trying to do here is they're recognizing that housing starts are falling. And in part, housing starts are falling because nobody can qualify for a mortgage. They're saying, okay, one of the ways that we could get housing starts up is by allowing younger people to qualify for a mortgage, and that could start to boost the market a little bit. So that's a theory of change here. This is not something, you know, if they made me housing czar and also we're abolishing elections and I don't have to care about getting reelected, that's not how I probably would have structured it. I probably would have allowed it on any unit because I'm actually cautiously optimistic that we're going to see a bunch of rental houses or what used to be rental houses come onto the market because of the big drop in the number of international students. That we've seen a lot of investors over the last 5 years buy up a lot of single family homes, turning them into student rentals. I think they may come on the market, and it would be nice if some of those would go into the hands of first-time home buyers. So again, I would have liked to see this across the board, but I get what they're trying to do here. What they're trying to do is counteract falling home starts. The CMHC said the housing starts in 2025 are still going to be lower than they were in 2022. This is a big problem, and I think the federal government's trying to counteract that.
This isn't a policy that could actually reduce demand. And in fact, it probably will actually increase demand a little bit for some kinds of properties. And that's not something that you and I usually advocate for. We usually talk about wanting to see more supply and less demand. So why do you like this policy?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if the federal government was doing nothing on the demand side, I would suggest this is a bad idea, right? That, you know, we shouldn't be goosing home prices further. But they've done a massive demand side approach, which is reducing the number of international students. And again, I don't think people really realize how transformative what the federal government has done on this, that assuming they keep to their word, that we're going to go from our population growing by 1.2 or 1.3 million people a year down to about 300,000. And this was actually just recently confirmed by the Bank of Canada. Back when the Bank of Canada did their last pause on interest rates earlier in April, they came out with the monetary policy report that did a population projection. And they confirmed that basically our population growth is going to be reduced by about 75%. So because of that, I actually think we have a little bit of wiggle room here where we can say, okay, this should free up a bunch of homes. And we're also seeing this reduction in housing starts. So that gives us a little bit of space to do something on the ownership side. And I think we really need to, just because the dream of home ownership is dying for so many young Canadians, that I think we do need to throw them a little bit of a life preserver here. Is it going to solve everything? No, but, you know, not even close. This might get us like 1% of the way there. But, you know, we've got to do something just because we've got two generations now that are completely losing hope.
Yeah, I know that's something that we had been talking about when we were coming up with ideas of what we could write about. And like the idea that people don't have hope, that they feel like they cannot ever buy a home, is really bad. It's worrying for society what that looks like, because like I understand there's lots of places where people are fine to rent forever, and that's part of a lot of places' culture. It's still not part of Canada's culture. Like owning a home is still part of what most people seem to want to do, and I mean our tax incentives kind of make it a great investment right now still. So until we change that, I guess we could go the other direction and advocate to change that, but I just think culture is really hard to change, and it's so important to have a society where people still have some hope, especially young people who are trying to decide if they're going to build their life in Canada, right?
Yeah, and I think how we change that culture is by not by, you know, blocking people out of home ownership. It's by making renting better, right? That if you want to sort of incent change that people are going to live with and be happy about, you know, if you want them to choose B over A, they're not going to be happy if you just take away A. You know, you've got to give people choice. And that's ultimately my view. Like if I take a 30,000 foot view of what should we be trying to accomplish with our housing system, it's that every family, or at least as many families as possible, should have options to either rent homes that for 30% or less of their income, or be able to own homes at 30% of less or less of their income. And that's not to suggest we should prefer renting over owning or owning over renting, but it should be about creating choice, creating options. And right now, for some time now, we've taken one of those options off the table. And unfortunately for a lot of families, we've in fact taken both of those options off the table. So again, this helps us get a little bit. You know, I don't think it's going to be a massively transformative thing, but it's, you know, again, a little bit of light in a time and place where we need it.
And people were able to take 30-year mortgages before. It's just that these are insured now, so it'll be more affordable. Are you worried, though, that this will increase prices?
It may have a slight impact. I think, again, this is so marginal. But yeah, if you are increasing demand, that is going to tweak prices a little bit. Again, my view was that I see, at least in these college and university towns, we're actually going to have a lot of downward price pressure, again, because of that lack of international students. So this would offset that a little bit. But yeah, absolutely. That's always a concern here. That things are going to happen on the price side. But as much as possible, I would like to see, you know, more homes go into the hands of the young families that need them.
And one of the criticisms I've been hearing is people saying, well, why are you helping people? In order to afford these homes, you're going to need to be able to basically carry very expensive mortgages. You probably need a household income that's like quite a bit higher than the median. These are people who are making very good incomes who are currently priced out that we're trying to reach with that. Why tackle and focus on those people when there are lots of people who are not like doing nearly as well?
Yeah, so I would actually suggest that we've been doing the opposite, that the federal government's policies have been really hyper-focused on the lower end of the market, and whether that be social housing, some of the purpose-built rental stuff. So, you know, we had like 37 different policies designed for low-income renters, and frankly, we need another 37 more. But I don't think it's out of bounds to do like one nice thing for the middle class. I hear that statement, that question you've made. I just reject the premise of it, though. I don't think the federal government is focusing on middle class home ownership. I think they're largely focused on lower income rental side, and that's appropriate. That's where the biggest problems are. But we need a balanced approach. You know, we need policies to go across the spectrum from ending homelessness to, you know, creating hope for the middle class and everything in between. So I think these are entirely appropriate, and I'd like to see the federal government do more for young middle class families.
Yeah, I hope we see a lot more, because it's really important that there's people who are in the middle class and feel like they can actually attain that kind of Canadian dream still. We don't want to see people who are working jobs that are very productive that are then being buying homes in America or moving to other places in the world because they can't afford a home here. And I think it's so important that, like, yes, you need to be able to help the poor, but you also really need to help the middle class too. And I don't think those are mutually exclusive. And anything that we see here that could increase demand or increase prices, I'm hoping will be counteracted by the number of supply measures that are being taken and the demand measures that are being taken, as you talked about, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. But in the long run, we have to build a lot more supply. But, you know, we need to also give ourselves some runway until then. And I would just say that, you know, there has been no, you know, successful society since the Industrial Revolution that didn't have a strong middle class. You know, that is the basis for everything that creates the economic conditions for us to help the people in need. But it also creates the economic conditions for our businesses to have consumers to sell their goods and services to. So, you know, we cannot survive as a society if we have a missing middle.
Thanks everyone for watching and listening. And thanks as always to our incredible producer, Meredith Martin.
And if you have any burning economic or housing questions, please feel free to reach out to us at missingmiddlepodcast@gmail.com.
And we'll see you next time.